Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn more, or plan to join us in person at one of our two locations once it is safe to do so. Now, worship is about to begin. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Bob Fuchs, and welcome to worship. It's going to be a glorious day today. In worship today, we're going to experience music. We're going to take part in prayer, and we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. We'll hear a message from the Reverend Dr. Sherry Parker Lewis, and we will celebrate today. Now, I'm wearing a red shirt this morning, and this is not a Star Trek reference, but I'm wearing a red shirt because it is Pentecost Sunday, and it's a day where we celebrate in the church. And so if you have a red on, or if you have some red in your closet, go grab it and put it on. Take a selfie and post that to your Facebook page. Attach it to the church's Facebook page and show people that you're celebrating Pentecost today. All right, you may be asking, but Bob, what exactly is Pentecost and why am I wearing red? Well, I'm going to turn it over to Barb Terry and let her tell you the story of Pentecost and why we are recognizing it today.
Good morning. My name is Barb Terry, and I'm here to tell you the story of the birthday of the church. Now, this happened about 7 weeks after Jesus had come alive again. He had gone back to heaven, and his close friends, the disciples, were meeting in a room when suddenly there was this huge noise, this tremendous sound like a rushing wind and like a fire, something like fire filled their meeting room. And the fire was in shapes of tongues, and each of those tongues landed on the disciples. The Holy Spirit had come. The Holy Spirit entered each of the disciples and gave them the ability to speak a language that wasn't their own, a language they had never studied and they had never learned. It was really quite amazing. Now, about that time, many people had come to Jerusalem, many Jews from all parts of the world, each of them speaking different languages, and they heard the disciples talking about the wonders of Jesus and the wonderful things that God had done. And they all could understand because the disciples were speaking all these different languages. They were astonished. They said, "How could this be? We want to know more." But some people kind of admonished the disciples and said, "I think they have had a little too much wine to drink." Well, Peter stood in front of the crowd and said, No, we are not drunk. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. God promised to send his Holy Spirit, and indeed he has. Now that day, there were about 3,000 people there, and they heard the wonderful news of Jesus, and they all became Christians. They were all baptized that day.
Good morning. Welcome to Pentecost. I'm Susan Snow. Today we'll be exploring how the Holy Spirit might be calling you. Please join me in the opening prayer. God of wind and fire, may we feel your presence this day, like the people gathered on that first day of Pentecost. Holy Spirit, may rush into our hearts and fill our souls. May we be empowered to live a faithful life. Amen.
I'm glad I was asked to read the scripture because it took me a long time to realize that I don't need to have the special gifts that someone else has. I have my own. The scripture this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 13. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentile, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink.
Thank you, Liz. The scripture you heard this morning is one of the scriptures that references spiritual gifts. And that is what we're talking about today, is our spiritual gifts. And we're doing that and sharing it with everyone because each one of us has spiritual gifts. And we have them in different measure. Some have one in abundance and others they may not experience as much. But as we talk about these spiritual gifts, all of them are needed. And God uses all of them as we come together as the church. And as we turn to scripture, that is where we find the information that gets us start on what our spiritual gifts might be. You heard our reading today from 1 Corinthians. And you can look to chapters 12 and 13 and find out more about spiritual gifts. You can turn to Romans 12. And there are spiritual gifts listed there as well. And you can also turn to Ephesians 4 for additional spiritual gifts. Now, when you read all of these different verses, you will find that there are 20 spiritual gifts listed, 20 different ones. And not to worry, there will not be a quiz. I'm not going to ask you to tell me which each of them are. Now, what I am going to tell you, though, is that you may have had the opportunity at some point when you were in worship or in a small group to take a spiritual gift inventory like the one I'm holding here in my hand. And so you may have had the opportunity to learn a little bit about your spiritual gifts. And you may have done that in a room like this. Or you may have gone online at the United Methodist Church's webpage. And you can go online and take that survey. Now, the question is, what do you do when you're done with that? Okay, I know my spiritual gifts. Well, here's what you can do. One thing you can do is share those with other people. In fact, if you've ever done an inventory and you know your top two or three spiritual gifts, list those if you're comfortable in the comments section as you're in worship this morning. Now, my top couple of spiritual gifts, top three I'll give you are, my number one is faith. I have a strong and abiding faith that helps me through all those crises and throughout the different parts of my life. I know that I can turn to God, that Jesus loves me, and that I'm filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Another one of my spiritual gifts is giving or generosity. I believe in abundance, and so I freely share with others, knowing that there's always more than enough. And then the third one that tends to come in is leadership. That's there high for me as well. And I use those skills in different ways as I work within the church. Now, you may have different spiritual gifts. And one of yours may be craftsmanship. You may like to make things. You may be a quilter, or you may work well with wood. When I take a spiritual gift inventory, my craftsmanship score is very low. So we bring all of those pieces together as the church. If everyone was like me, the world would be a very scary place. But when we bring all those spiritual gifts together, we can use them to further God's kingdom. You heard some of them this morning in the scripture. It talked about wisdom. It talked about faith. It talked about a gift of healing. Miraculous powers. It goes everywhere from administration to compassion. From faith to helping. From leadership to teaching. All of these spiritual gifts are used to further God's kingdom here on earth. And it is all part of the church. Now, I keep talking about the church. The church. Well, yes, this is where you may have learned what your spiritual gifts are. But this is not the only place you're supposed to use them. Come with me, because I'm going to show you the other place you're supposed to use them. This is where you're supposed to use them, out in the world. I'm standing here in Whitmore Lake, and there are people driving by, and you may not be able to hear me clearly. I hope you do. But this is where we're called to use our spiritual gifts, out in the world. Do not leave them at home. Send them out when you can go out, take them with you, and use them to show others the love of Christ. And now, Pastor Sherry, I'm turning it over to you for your message this morning.
Good morning and welcome. My name is Sherry Parker Lewis. I am coming to you from the sanctuary of the Brighton campus of First United Methodist Church on this Pentecost Sunday. I am thankful for Liz Hoover. Thank you so much for reading our scripture reading this morning, and also to Pastor Bob, who has shared with us the importance of knowing and using our spiritual gifts. Pastor Bob, we are thankful for your service at First United Methodist Church, specifically in the areas of adult discipleship development and as the campus pastor for Whitmore Lake. We are so grateful to you for all that you've done in service to the church, first as a layperson and then as clergy. And while we are sad that you are leaving for a new appointment, we send you out excited for the gifts that you will bring and the blessing that you will be to Downriver United Methodist Church. Thank you so much again for talking about spiritual gifts. It's interesting when I think about my own spiritual gifts, I could identify them very quickly. I have a gift for administration and a gift for edification or teaching. But also when I take my spiritual gifts consistently, I have a gift for wisdom. So I try to use those gifts as God has given me. But I also give thanks for knowing the gifts where I am a bit insufficient and making sure that I listen to the wisdom of those who have gifts in areas of compassion and mercy and how they are directing me in those areas. Together, we are the body of Christ and we are strong. Deploying our gifts is essential for the health and the well-being of the body of Christ, and for disseminating, sending out the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, today is Pentecost. And in Pentecost, we find ourselves united using our spiritual gifts, but we are not united because of these diverse gifts. We are united by one Spirit. This is the way Paul says it in our scripture reading for this morning. There are different gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Pentecost happened 50 days after Jesus' resurrection at Easter. Today, we wear the color red, and we remember through that symbol this birthday of the church. You may be wearing red today, and if you are, be sure and take a picture and post it to social media with a hashtag Pentecost so people know that you're celebrating that today. Barb told the story of Pentecost earlier in the service, and I'm grateful for her storytelling abilities. I wonder what the disciples remembered as they gathered in an upper room on that Pentecost day. Did they remember what Jesus had said to them when they were grief-stricken on the night before he died? Did they remember that he said that he would send the Spirit of God to be with them? Did they remember, as accounted in Luke 24, that he told them to wait in Jerusalem and the Spirit would come upon them? They waited for it, and they waited for it, even in a locked upper room. And suddenly, on that Pentecost day, the wind came in with the sound of a mighty roar, and tongues of fire danced on their heads. Now, they would know about fire, certainly, a fire that would warm, a fire that would kindle and be light as Jesus told them to be, but they were also very familiar with wind. They remembered that God's wind hovered over them in creation, in the chaos, and blew life into everything. They know that human beings' first breath was the breath or wind of God. It was the wind of God that blew back the flood waters of Noah. It was the wind of God that separated the Red Sea so that the people of Israel could pass. Jonah was brought back to his senses by a wind of God that stirred up the sea, and Elijah rose on a whirlwind to heaven. Jeremiah said that that same whirlwind of God would come down on the heads of the wicked, and Ezekiel heard God say, "Let my breath come into these dry bones," and they rose to new life. Jesus said in John 20 that he would bring the Spirit, and he breathed on his disciples. It's right then when Job says in 33:4, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of God gives me life." Well, the breath of God gives life to the church on this Pentecost Sunday. In an upper room where the wind roared, the disciples were able to proclaim the good news in many languages, astounding those who heard them. And the same is true for us as we speak the good news of Jesus Christ with new and fresh language when we use our spiritual gifts. Now, of course, that can be a challenge. For the first disciples, their new languages were discounted. These men who came from rural Galilee, how in the world could they speak to others from other nations? But we speak as well. Maybe our voices can sometimes be discounted as well. Some people say, "Don't talk to me about the hope you find in God. Don't talk to me about the promises of Jesus Christ. I'd rather talk about pandemic and presidential elections and my job and my kids and what my life will be and even whether or not the Tigers will play again so that I can see them." And people may discount our words of faith and our encouragement that comes from our faith. But the Spirit gives us the ability to keep speaking that language. We may speak through our gifts, and friends and relatives may ask, "What's the payoff for you in your acts of compassion and generosity, even for people who may not say thank you?" But we speak because the Spirit emboldens us. The gift of the Spirit is inexhaustible. It knows no bounds of time or space. it is strong, and the wind of God is blowing, whether it be in the most difficult times in pandemic or in times of absolute freedom for caring for others. The Spirit fills us with boldness to go beyond where we are comfortable, to reach out to people where we may have to break barriers. The Spirit of God fills us with the ability to witness in new languages, languages not only that cross ethnicities, but languages that cross between the young and the old, the comfortable and the impoverished, those who are included and those who are marginalized, so that we might, as a faithful people, turn our hearts to God. Is there evidence today of the Holy Spirit moving? The Spirit is here. It is in the gifts of prayer, it is in the gifts of gathering, and it is in the way we reach out as a congregation. So I say, let the winds fill us. Let the winds come and blow into this place. Now, I am preaching today in an empty sanctuary. And you may be saying to yourself, how can the Spirit be here? But I suggest that the Spirit is here. It is in the songs of the saints who have gathered. It is in the vows that have been made in this sanctuary, in membership and in baptism and even in marriage. The Spirit of God rests in this place heavily. But the Spirit of God is also like a wind that fills our homes and our hearts. And if you're not feeling that that Spirit dwells at the door of your heart, hoping that you might crack it a bit and let God's Spirit in. In it, we will discover different gifts, but one Spirit that gives them all. There is no place that is empty of God. No time, no situations, no circumstances. And we can trust that by the breath of life, God's Spirit, we will be transformed. Spirit wind, offer life. Part the waters, bring us freedom, raise us up, fill us with hope and energy. Come, Spirit, come. Fill your people, the church, today, wherever we are. Because today is Pentecost. Amen.
Good morning. As we talk about spiritual gifts this morning, I can't help but think of some extraordinary individuals with special spiritual gifts in our church. People like Pastor Sherry, who has a gift for preaching, administration, and so many other talents. People like Pastor Bob, who has a gift for deeply connecting with people and sharing his faith journey. People like Susan, Michael, Eric, and so many others who have a gift of music, artistry, performance, and freely share it with us on a weekly basis. And people like John Phillips, who has an exceptional gift for technology and creates these wonderful online worship services and connects us in ways that we never thought were possible. I could go on and on with about all the people that I know in our faith community who have exceptional spiritual gifts. But when I step back, we all have spiritual gifts because we are all children of God and the Holy Spirit lives within us. We are all specially gifted to play a unique and valued role in the body of Christ. We all have a purpose. We all have a gift. You see, spiritual gifts are not some special talent or skill, but rather it's the grace of God that lives within us and empowers us to dig deep, find our passion, and match those passions with the needs of our church, the community, and the world. Spiritual gifts are given to us individually, but they are not intended to be kept within us. They are intended to be used as an outreach to strengthen and build our community. When we were worshiping in person, you may recall seeing some small white pamphlets that were actually spiritual gift finders. There were 125 questions, and you'd answer them, and then it would rank your spiritual gifts. You can also find these online. There's lots of them. I did mine several years ago, but when I was talking about spiritual gifts this week, my daughter Gabrielle came from her room and had one of these pamphlets. She apparently had a few in her room and shared one with me, so I took the opportunity to do a new assessment. And it ranked my spiritual gifts, the top three as follows: leadership, hospitality, and mercy. So I questioned myself as to whether I was using those spiritual gifts for the benefit of others and for the benefit of Jesus Christ. And I think I am. I have been a long-serving liturgist, usher, and on the Staff Parish Relations Committee. I love performing those roles, and it's very satisfying to me, and I hope that it benefits others within the church. And so I am now cognizant of those spiritual gifts, and my goal is to use them more. And I think in these unprecedented times, that's really important. These are times where the words, you know, COVID-19, social distancing, contact tracing are now common and used daily. In these times, identifying and using our spiritual gifts is more important than ever. I dare to say that if I had asked you at the beginning of the year, if you thought that we would be worshiping together via Facebook Live in March and continuing into June, you would have told me I was crazy. But here we are, and through the spiritual gifts of many in our congregation, we are able to connect on a weekly basis. Our mission and ministry might look different right now, but our faith in Jesus Christ does not falter. Now, during an in-person service, we would be taking offering right now, and that would be a monetary gift given to the church to further our mission, our outreach, and reaching those with the word of Jesus Christ. And giving is actually a spiritual gift. While it was not in my top three of rankings, I think it is a spiritual gift of mine. I am very passionate about giving. I'm passionate about giving not just money on a regular basis, but also my time and any skills that I might have for the benefit of others. And even though these are very difficult times, I think it's important that we continue to give. Obviously, the monetary giving is important to keep our wonderful staff in place and to keep our missions and programming and outreach alive and well, and to connect us. And so I think that the gift of giving is the deep commitment to provide whatever resources we have to support God's will and plan. Not only is this a time of great need in communities due to the economic downturn and fear and anxiety, but is also a great opportunity. The world is watching churches, they're watching us, to see if we really live out what Jesus taught us. Now is the time to put your spiritual gifts to work.
Before we start our time of prayer, I invite you to join me in blessing a prayer quilt. This will go, and we offer prayers for her, and that these prayers might be found encircling her in the symbol of this quilt. Let us pray. Bless it in the receiving of this quilt. Bless it and help it to hold the prayers that this congregation sends up for her, and our prayers of gratitude for your healing presence and great comfort in all situations. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, I'm so happy to be worshiping with you here today. My name is Ann Birchmeyer. I am the Director of Youth Ministries at First United Methodist Church in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Inspiration for my prayer this morning comes from my experiences of the last 2 days. I met a woman this week who has terminal esophageal cancer. She was delightful to speak with. Mentioned to me that people often wonder why she is so upbeat in her situation. And her response is always, "I don't know, I just am." I thought to myself, what a blessing, a gift, to be able to take what life throws at you and manage to be upbeat, even if it's just for a moment in time. Not everybody has that gift. As I sat down to write this prayer, it was gray and gloomy, very different from yesterday, but very much the unpredictable Michigan weather. It occurred to me that Michigan is a lot like Michigan weather, at least, is a lot like life, unpredictable. Sunny days, stormy days, and everything in between. I reflected on the different ways people respond to the ups and downs of life, and there are many. And I thought to myself, we really do need one another. I believe that the constant in life is the blessings that God give us in all times, and one of those blessings I truly believe is each other. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, it is you who gives us life. You sustain us and empower us. We praise and thank you for being at work in our lives. We thank you for the many blessings and gifts you have bestowed on us. May we use them to be blessings to each other. Guide us, Lord, to those who need us. For the sick, send those who heal. For the sad, suffering, and lonely, send those who comfort. For the joyless, send those who uplift. For the angry, fearful, or anxious, send those who bring peace. For those who need help, meals, masks, send those gifted with helping hands and hospitality. Send us, Lord, send each one of us as our gift to you, as our thanks to you. God, we pray for those both in need and those working to be your hands in the world by caring for your people. Bring them strength and bring them and help them to feel your sustaining love. God, we ask that you continue to bring us the gifts of music, the singing of the birds, the blooming of the flowers, and the joy of laughter. As you know, God, our world here is experiencing quite a time. It is unpredictable. It is challenging. Forgive us, God, for when we fall short. We pray that during this unprecedented time that you will guide us to look to you and strive to be patient, grateful, understanding, compassionate, giving, wise, and gracious. Help us to do our best and to remember most people are trying to do theirs. Help us give grace to each other as you have given us. Be with the decision makers, lend them your wisdom and your compassion for your people. In all things we praise Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, let your mighty wind blow in this place. kindle in us a fire of renewal. Let our hearts soar on your breath, that we might be Christ for this community. Let your grace and your compassion grow in us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited to take part in this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of our community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn more or plan to visit us in person at one of our two locations once it is safe to do so. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.